a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Friday, September 18th. Hey, hello and welcome. How you doing? You made it to the end of the week. Today is Friday. We are now here and it is time to roll. Back here today. We were off yesterday, but hey, back in the studio today, ready for another fantastic show. My name is Rick Beller, joined to my left, Charlie Collier, and joined back there across the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Oh, great, Rick. Good morning.
How you doing?
I guess Charlie's doing
pretty
great.
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, we're up 2-0. Like, that's pretty cool.
He's riding
it's
in
been
here
a lot of fun.
On a heat wave, as the kids might say.
I see what you did there.
Saw what I did? Oh, it's not plugged in. That's great. I'm feeling pretty good today. I'm going to get all my devices plugged in, but feeling pretty good. Can't complain. It's one more day. Well, today is official start of the weekend, I suppose. And there was good basketball last night.
Yeah, there was.
Not the greatest outcome for me and Brandon Celtics, but it was a good game. It's even pretty good football on, too.
It was an entertaining game.
Yeah, Thursday night football.
Got to give it some credit.
Starting off strong. For the most part,
I saw on SportsCenter that it was the first time that there was an NFL game, an NBA playoff game, an NHL playoff game, an MLB game, and a golf major on the same day.
Yeah, because
that would only happen because
of COVID.
Yeah, which is incredible to think about alone. I mean, remember all of those days where we just sat there in purgatory without anything at all. We were stuck with anywhere from 1994 to 2009 reruns. And now finally, I mean, we sit here yesterday and like you said, all four major sporting events or sporting leagues, I guess, plus a major in golf all at the same time, all either overlapping or just within a couple hours of each other.
And all of them were really entertaining too. I mean,
yeah,
the Open yesterday was awesome. I watched that from the moment I woke up until it was over.
Which, by the way,
the Heat game.
We do have on right here in front of us, so in case anything big happens while we're live here on the show, we'll be able to let you know about it.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat game was great. The NHL game went to overtime to send the Lightning to the Cup. There was some good baseball last night, too.
Yeah, there was there's a ton of stuff going on yesterday, which means we have a ton of stuff to talk about today. Which, by the way, 8 days. How about that? I know.
8 days till kickoff.
8 days until kickoff in Tennessee. 1 week and 1 day. We will be in here in this studio 1 week from today thinking about a football game tomorrow. Isn't that crazy to think? Especially with like how fast these weeks go by.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
And
it's almost
we have,
like, who knew we would have gotten here?
I know. That is a big thought, because there was so much of this year where we were sitting here, you were sitting at home, we were sitting at home. No matter where you were, we were all thinking to ourselves, man, I don't know if there's going to be a college football season this year. I don't know if there are going to be any sports this year. And now we've finally made it back to this great point. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about for Tennessee-wise today. Because it's not just good news for us that kickoff is only 8 days away. The football team itself is getting good, if not great, news. In case you missed it yesterday, the NCAA has a new ruling on the appeal sent by Tennessee on the eligibility of Cade Mays. And in case you missed that, the NCAA ruled eligible to play. Now, there's still another hurdle in our way, but, I mean, for all sakes purposes, wow, that is fantastic. We have been clamoring about this. First off, it should never have taken this long in the first place. But it's amazing that the NCAA did kind of come around and they did check off that first big box. Now, again, there's still another hurdle to go with the SEC. And I don't even know if there's 100% reason to be confident or to be, you know, I guess I should just stop there, to be 100% confident in the SEC. But we'll give you all the news about Cade Mays, what you can expect. I do expect Cade Mays to be on the field in 8 days for Tennessee. So we'll talk all about that. Tennessee also doing well on the practice field over the weekend, over the week, because yesterday was a big day. They got a huge chunk of their players back to practice. Jeremy Pruitt said after practice that this was the highest attended practice since the very beginning of fall camp. So that's good. Good news on the front.
Yeah, certainly good to finally start getting players back. And, you know, he said right now he's not really concerned about anyone on the two deep at this point that would not be available for South Carolina. And I've been pretty nervous about that, given that, you know, maybe we're the only one that's dealing with it to this extent, or maybe we're just the only ones that are as open about it. But we've had a lot of issues getting guys in practice due mostly to contact tracing. So maybe now you're finally over the hump. You got your two deep on both sides available, and you guys can really just bubble up. I mean,
yeah.
The campus has taken stronger procedures. You know, I still think there's a chance we all get sent home, which would be, as unfortunate as that may be, really good for the football team. So, you know, maybe now you can just be over that hump and stay healthy, and you get it over with before the season starts.
Yeah, I definitely think that all students are going to get sent home. I mean, we've seen steps taken by local Board of Health here, and most of it, you talk about the contact tracing, most of all the fear has came back when UT students came back. Most of all the spikes have spiked when UT students came back, and they're trying to curfew bars once again and restaurants this time around with an 11 o'clock curfew to stop alcohol sales. No purchasing alcohol past 11, when in reality most of the problem, because they were mad, they went out, director of health saw a bunch of people on campus and all of these students outside of, you know, the local bars on campus waiting to get in where they weren't really adhering to social distancing guidelines. So most of all the fears come from campus. So I'm with you. I mean, I'd be surprised if you guys don't go to a full online schedule, because everything that they're doing right now locally seems like it's in order to save football and to protect a lot of the students on campus, because that's where most of your outbreaks coming from.
I hope they send everyone home just so we can make sure the football season
goes. I think that it would
smoothly.
Be best to protect football in that way, or you're going to have situations like what they're worried about in the Big Ten, where, I mean, guys isolated during the season just because of spike counts, man. It's going to get up there. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But in reality, I didn't think that we would get here, and we did get here with a delayed date. Shout out to Charlie for that one. Always got to come back on Charlie, right?
Always.
Because, you know, like, he was adamant we were going to start on time. I remember we had a big discussion about that one day. But, yeah, it's just good to have football back. It'd be good to watch some SEC football.
It is. So here's what we have planned for the menu today. Again, we got a lot of Tennessee stuff to talk about, including Cade Mays and the NCAA ruling yesterday. We have some offensive and defensive player news to talk about, including some guys who are returning to practice, some guys who are practicing with different positions. We have one player who has entered the transfer portal and another player who is out indefinitely after the offseason surgery that he had. We'll give you all of those names for Tennessee players coming up here shortly. Guys, we also have a little bit of NFL Week 2 to preview, including confidence picks. That's coming up later in the show.
We got a big day.
We also have some NBA conversation. Talk about, again, like what Chance was saying yesterday, that Heat-Celtics game, including the Marcus Smart meltdown from yesterday, seemingly.
You got the tea?
Oh, man. That one was interesting.
Yeah, he's one of, I know we'll get into it more, but he's one of those leaders on the team.
Right.
Sometimes even unspoken leader because, you know, well, he plays hard on defense. He's not really thought of as a star, but he's a very mold guy. He's a glue guy.
There you go.
He does a little bit of everything, and he's a great presence on the team. So likely if he's really imploding on other teammates, then it's not a good sign for the Celtics' morale going forward.
No, so we'll get into that whole story and tell you about what happened after the game with some of the fireworks from Boston's locker room, as well as Chance, the All-NBA first team.
Yep,
that was announced
out
2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of look through those, see what we think about those, and then finally see what else we can get into with just some other random things in the sports world.
U.S. Open to get to.
Oh, that's
very
true.
We'll have a preview. We'll bring Steve back in here, talk about day one and going into the weekend. So
because it was a surprising day one from the Open.
I'm
You had guys a good bit under par.
Who did you take?
No, I'm angry because
it's not looking like the hardest.
Or a bunch of cowards.
I think there's a high chance that going into the weekend though, they toughen this thing up.
Yeah, like whenever.
I don't think they're going to let these.
I thought they'd toughen it up this morning. And look, I don't think
they're going to let these five under slide.
Also, there's controversy with scores.
Well, no. Not necessarily with scores. It's just that the players are playing really well.
So
and that's what Steve was talking to us about on Wednesday, was that they have a reputation to uphold. And I think there is truth to it. So if the course isn't playing as hard as the reputation holds it to be, I do think that they make this thing tougher going into the weekend.
Yeah.
Come Saturday, come Sunday.
Move those pins.
I don't think they want to see these four unders, these five unders. I think they want to see this winner around even to plus to in the over.
Yeah, move those pins around, make the course.
But
a little
I do want to
difficult.
Ask Steve about that because I think that that's a big conversation surrounding the Open right now.
The USGA made it easier this week.
Really?
They came in and did it. And the grounds crew and the head groundsmen at Winged Foot was absolutely livid, apparently. This is according to some sources, with the USGA last night, and he is embarrassed for his course
controversy.
He wants it harder.
I like when Charlie gets into it. He's like, and they did it. They did it.
I'm pro-course all the time. I want the courses to be brutal.
We have to find them.
We must track them. We must interrogate them, and we must get to the bottom of this.
You really do get into the
I want them all fired. I want every one of them. I want their job taken from them.
Boy.
If this winner is anywhere lower than three or four under.
Oh, man.
Look at this
guy.
Fire
them.
Who is this guy,
Matthew
Charlie?
Wolf from Oklahoma State. He's a promising young man.
Why is Matthew Wolf three under at Winged Foot?
Patrick Reed,
he's a good scrambler.
The guy everyone loves to hate always is also tied
that
for
that dude
second.
Hit a hole in one yesterday, and Webb Simpson and Hideki Matsuyama, I think that's it, Hideki Matsuyama, they were so emotionless. They were the guys playing in the group with them. Patrick Reed hits the hole in one. They pan over to the other guys, and they just have no reaction. That is how much this guy is hated in the golf community. They gave him no respect.
Oh, yeah.
None. And he hit a hole in one.
Nobody
cares
for that guy.
Man, we got so much stuff to get into today. I can't wait to get into all of it. Again, we're going to lead the show with a little Tennessee football. Talking about Cade Mays, talking about the practice reports, talking about what we can expect, as well as South Carolina announcing their new starting quarterback. It is a transfer. Man, we got a bunch of stuff Tennessee related to get into. We'll do that next right here on the Blitz. All right, boys, good news yesterday as the NCAA has ruled in favor of the Cade Mays appeal in regards to his immediate eligibility ruling. Again, they had said no the first time. They had said, no, you will not be eligible to play. The Cade Mays and I guess the legal team that was surrounding him as well as the University of Tennessee, they appealed that ruling. The NCAA has now come out in favor of the Cade Mays appeal filed by the team and by the Mays family that they had filed last week. So that is great news to start out your Friday. Now, again, there's still more obstacles to the appeal, to the transfer getting all the way through, as the SEC and Commissioner Greg Sankey still have to rule on this as well. We'll tell you a couple more things about coming up, kind of what's coming up with that SEC ruling, with what you might be able to expect and kind of a timetable for it. But before we do, let's go right over to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. Get a call from Phil. Man, that's how I like to start off a Friday. Good morning, Phil. How are you doing today?
Happy fabulous, fabulous Friday.
What's going on?
Not much. I heard y'all talking about the Cade Mays thing, and I figured to call in.
Well, that is tremendous news, especially, I mean, we can look at this in a number of different ways. I don't care which way we take it. We can talk about the process that is still yet to come with the whole SEC part of it, or we can go ahead and straight jump on the field if we want to really get excited. Because I think you can kind of look at this and look at the offensive line we're putting together, and, man, it stacks up as good as anybody in the country, I believe.
Well, sure, the goodness will be totally cleared if he went to the NCAA, but do you think the Bears battle captain has enough power to tell Sankey we need him bad and get it done?
You know, I hope so. Jeremy Pruitt, kind of when he was speaking yesterday, it seemed like he was expressing a little confidence in the league's office, saying that, you know, he believed that the right thing would get done and that would ultimately end up with Mays being eligible on the team. But, you know, we do know from past history that sometimes the SEC office can be a little slow, especially on in-conference transfers. You know,
well,
from SEC East to East or West to West.
They ought to know by Monday if SEC is going to do it or not, because you can't just keep, you know, being in the wall the whole time.
Well, and I think so too. But you know, I was hearing this morning that there is another name right now that's still sitting on the desk of the commissioner's office right now. A player who was formerly at Georgia and who is transferring to Ole Miss this season. And he has still not heard anything back from the SEC office about his kind of eligibility.
Did the NCAA approve that guy too?
I believe so, yes. So that one's still sitting on the SEC desk as well. So again, I kind of expect that too. Like, this is the kind of thing where I'd expect the longer it get dragged out, the less optimistic I'll be. So I'm really hoping to hear, you know, any kind of news as soon as possible. But I don't know. I mean, then again, though, we're only 8 days away from the season.
Well, you figured the NCAA would supersede the SEC.
You would.
When it comes to a ruling.
You would, because it feels like there's no way that, hey, the NCAA had made their ruling, then they had to go back on their ruling and rule in favor of the appeal, which has to make you think that at the highest of levels, these guys are okay with the transfer happening. Seems like the SEC all now, you know, all it really has to do is just sign on their line as well.
Yeah.
And then it goes through.
How is Alabama, isn't their campus the most infected in the SEC, but they have no football players that have the virus? And if they do, Saban says they're asymptomatic. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
Saban does what he wants to.
Yeah.
The rich get richer. I mean, same old song and dance. It's like whenever he had players get caught in a park with a gun and drugs, and what he said, we're not going to take away from those young men. You know, Saban has different rules. I'm actually surprised that it's taking so long for not only Cade Mays, I mean, that it's taking this long for Cade Mays, but for this other guy, if they've gotten cleared by the NCAA, because I actually
feel... Let me give you a timetable on him.
I feel like the SEC kind of acts like we don't really need the NCAA at most times, you know? Like, we do... We'll do what we need to do regardless of what the NCAA says in a lot of other cases that involve, you know, the NCAA as a whole, like especially going into this whole COVID thing. Like, SEC was going to do whatever. NCAA wasn't going to tell them what to do. They were going to play football. Greg Sankey came out and said, one of the, you know, the first ones. And I would think they would just go ahead and get it done. It's very odd. It's like there's something else that we don't know behind the scene, like, you know, like some type of, some type of vendetta behind the scenes, whether it's from Georgia, whether it's somebody that Cade Mays or the Mays family have pissed off. Like, it just seems like it's taken way too long. Like, there's something else that we don't know about.
Yeah, if it's Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, Nick Saban would have had Cade Mays.
Everything's okay.
He would have been cleared going into spring practice, Phil. He would have made the call himself.
Well, go back to Pearl. Remember, they gave SEC gave him sanctions to take out more games than NCAA did. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that shows you Tennessee's been picked on by the SEC office. And,
For whatever reason. Maybe battle captain did something to get some people perturbed back in the day.
Well, let's not go basketball. You see, I heard on the preseason show that we were ranked fifth in the country in Blue Ribbon magazine.
Yeah, that's huge. That is huge. So,
Did you say fifth?
Fifth, yeah, according to the Blue Ribbon Preview magazine for the season.
All right, I can dig it.
Chris Dortch.
And I saw something on the internet a little while ago that Jaden Springer and Keanu Johnson playing a little point guard also. I'm not surprised Jaden's played some point guard, but Keon, I didn't think that he would ever play point guard. He's more of a, you know, off guard, small forward type.
Yeah, that surprises me about Keon, but Jaden Springer, we've been talking about him since we saw him play. I definitely think he's going to play most of your point guard, in my opinion.
Could it maybe be contingency in case basketball has similar situations to some football seasons now and some people have to sit out that you just want to get more people work at point guard?
Doing a Jeremy Pruitt route.
I mean, maybe. I don't know anything about like, that. It could just be, that's just speculation
and then
on
if
my
we're,
end.
And if we're thinking about past years with Barnes, it seems like he's had a lot of, I'd say, guards go down untimely, whether that's Lamonte, Bone going down for a little bit there when he was banged up. It seems like his guards always tend to get a little injured. So maybe that's a great thing, as Charlie's kind of alluding to, whether it's the COVID, whether it's just for injuries, get everybody working. Because it seems like over the last 4 years, he's had a guard, a pivot.
Go down, yeah.
Yeah, a guard that you need. Go down, whether it's for a week, 2 weeks, a season. He's had that happen to him. So maybe he's just trying to – he saw the writing on the wall for that.
Is Big Josh called in? What's the Braves' magic number now? Y'all have it in front of you?
I know the Marlins were only a couple back with a four-game series coming up against them. So, I mean, I'm sure they're – pretty much in the playoffs if they haven't already clinched the playoffs, but to clinch the division, they still got some work to do.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they got some work to do. As long as they got Snicker manager, there's always a chance for a loss. I mean, that guy, he's almost like Butch Jones being a manager in baseball. I mean, that's what – he's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, my team is really bad. It's really
sad. You lost your best bat and, you know, your best pitcher.
We lost our best bat. It's tough.
But you got a championship. That's all that matters. All
right. Exactly.
So I see something here that says, I guess 2 days ago, the magic number for the Braves was 11 for the division.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think it was 11 a couple days ago. Now maybe if they've up with the Braves day to day.
They're up 3 in the division right now, and they have 4 games against the Marlins starting Monday. So
yeah, the Marlins are getting beat by the Red Sox, so that's not a good sign for the Marlins. Maybe they're folding at the end of the year. That'd be good for the Braves. It'll help them get.
Yeah, I told you about the Marlins, boys. I told you about the Marlins.
I know you know
what a weird baseball season it's been. from the very beginning when you just didn't have teams like the Marlins playing for a for a week or two to where we are now to already talking about magic numbers, you know, to clinch your postseason position.
Yeah.
Like it's wild how it's kind of gone about.
Chance, you were talking earlier about the Knox County's you work in the service industry, but, yeah. You know, I don't think what they're doing is going to help one bit in the statistics. The people are getting together. They can't stop that. And,
I don't.
You look at Nashville, look what the doubling the numbers in Nashville.
Yeah,
on this
what
coronavirus.
The heck was that?
Yeah, they're in pretty hot water, it seems like, in Nashville. Yeah. I feel like in Knoxville, they've been very transparent.
Nashville has a really terrible
now, maybe mayor. Maybe if we find out that the numbers were fudged, that might be something you find out in the coming months or who knows whenever. But I feel like Knoxville's been pretty transparent, like from the get-go, announcing, having the meetings. But, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to – I mean, none of it's really going to curb anything. In my opinion, what should have happened if they had wanted to curb it? You follow, like, the motto of, like, what North Carolina did. You should have stayed across the board closed longer if that's what you were worried about. Like, North Carolina, when you left, Charlie, they still didn't have anything open, correct? They were slowly starting to do a phase one.
Things were still pretty weird there, but the smaller towns were just ignoring it.
Yeah, so. Oh yeah, we're ignoring it. But I think you should just stay closed longer across the board. But like you said, Phil, it's not gonna do that much. But what they are trying to do, and anybody can see it. I mean, bringing all these restrictions back and all of these curfews. As soon as college started back, as soon as the kids got back to campus, like that's when you saw it. There had been a time when everything was fully accessible across the board and nobody was saying anything, but as soon as campus started to open back up, they started to change their tune. And I know what they're – I mean, these city leaders, a lot of them – some of them might be worried. A lot of them trying to probably help out football. I mean, don't want these guys to get it and not be able to play because a lot of businesses around here do depend on football being played, whether it's at 25% or 100%. It'll still help them out. But I'm with you. I mean, these kids are still going to have house parties.
Yeah, there's no they're
going to have
zero stopping any of us from getting
women. I must get real.
They're going to have, yeah, they're going to be out.
Because none of us care. None of us care.
None of
you
guys do care.
We have 3,000 cases. There's not been a single one that's required, you know, any advanced treatment, any hospitalization.
It says it all right there.
Just a bunch of people getting a cold.
Yeah. Chuck said it all right there. Has anybody died yet on the campus?
No one's been to the hospital. No one's had a severe case yet because
okay. In
that specific demographic, people just don't care. It's not a big deal.
It affects my demographic, but it doesn't affect your demographic. That's the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Thank you for the call, as always. Good stuff there. Guys, on the other side of the break, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the Tennessee practice news, as well as tell you who has entered the transfer portal from Tennessee's roster, as well as, man, we got a little bit of news about some players maybe transferring positions, maybe at least working out with a little bit different of a position. So we'll give you all that coming up more as we are only 8 days away from the return to football in Tennessee. Theme in my head, but White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, White Claw Clubhouse, either way, same thing. All right, so teased it a second ago, but a little bit of news coming out of the Tennessee football roster, and that is this. First and foremost, actually, they both come on the tight end position. As redshirt freshman tight end Jackson Lowe has hit the transfer portal. That was a name that we had kind of talked about in the last couple weeks.
I want to know what was going on with him.
Where was he?
And apparently, he's had to have been pretty bad for him. With the way the tight end position looks at Tennessee and the lack of depth there for him to have to transfer out, he must have just really been struggling at tight end for us.
Yeah, there must have been something going on there because you're right. If there's any position right now in the Tennessee roster that is open for somebody to step up and take it, you would think that regardless of your class, the tight end position right now is going to go to whoever steps up the most. And I think that any of those guys had the opportunity because in the follow-up news, Jeremy Pruitt had told us yesterday that Austin Pope was going to be out indefinitely after his surgery this past offseason. Now, we know he had his surgery, and this was, you know, starting tight end behind, tight end behind Dominic Wood Anderson last year. Certainly played a good bit. but had the off-season surgery and actually looked like he was going to be projected on a timetable that was going to be a little bit quicker than expected. That maybe he might only be out a game or two, if even that. It doesn't look like that's necessarily going to be the case anymore. It looks like Tennessee is going to take a little bit more time with the process and the recovery for Austin Pope. But so Jeremy Pruitt just said he will not play right now. I'm not sure if that means that he'll be back for, you know, the fourth game of the season. I don't know if that means that they're going to project him to be back at the end of the season, or maybe if he just misses one game. But either way, I think that's a big blow to the tight end position. So, Charlie, my question to you is, with Austin Pope out indefinitely and with Jackson Lowe transferring, who was left on the roster for the tight end position?
Well, you have Sean Brown, who's a redshirt freshman last year.
And, okay.
He was either a 3- or 4-star that was brought in last year's class. He did get to play in that blowout of UTC, I believe.
Okay.
And then, you know, something we've kind of forgot about, Jordan Allen, who has been all over the place. He's been in the transfer portal, pulled out of the transfer portal. He was a JUCO recruit several years ago that at DN has now moved to tight end as well. He's 6'4", 240, so he's got some size to him.
Okay.
There's Jacob Warren, a Knoxville native.
Sure, we've heard plenty of him.
Yeah, obviously. He was a guy that was really weak when he got to school and has finally been building his body up to be able to play SEC football. Princeton Fant, who has always been a guy that's had athleticism but has never really found a position. He's playing tight end. Maybe he can step up. And then a name that's really important that we've seen that could really be a key, D. Beckwith, has been rumored to have played some tight end as well and looked pretty good doing it.
So it's interesting that you bring up that name as well, because we've also heard that D. Beckwith is practicing a little bit with the running backs. Jay Graham was actually talking about some of the stuff that they were doing with D. Beckwith.
He's a really physical, athletic guy, and he already has a build where he can play SEC football this year. He's way ahead of his time, his age, in terms of his physicality and just his body in general. So he's a guy that you certainly want to try to get on the field, and, you know, you don't quite know where his home could be. He can do some different things. I think he fits very naturally in as one of your athletic playmaking tight ends. But right now, I guess they're just trying to find a spot for him just so you can utilize him a little bit this year. I mean, especially you have nothing to lose with the blanket eligibility getting back. I mean, you don't have to redshirt anybody. You can try to really get
and see what they got. Yeah, on any kind of different position. I'm totally with you there. I think that Princeton Fan is especially, I think, a name to watch out for in the beginning of the season. I think that they use him a lot in some of these packages. But either way, no matter who the tight end is on the field, they will be lining up to a, you know, I think we can all agree on this, a pretty damn good offensive line. Especially if the news that we've been talking about today, Cade Mays, is approved by the SEC Commissioner's Office, and he is finally, no holds barred, deemed eligible to play. So if Cade Mays is on this offensive line, Chance, let me tell you this.
Tell me.
Sit back and relax. I hope you have a snack with you. Here's what you got. 5-star Cade Mays. 5-star Trey Smith. 5-star Wanya Morris. 5-star Darnell Wright, 4-star and 6-year starter Brandon Kennedy. That right there is a stout offensive line.
Very stout.
And look, that's not even the guaranteed starters. Like we've been hearing a lot in practice about guys like Jameer Johnson, right? Who have had exceptional workout so far this camp, who could even push their way into the starting lineup. There is so much talent on this offensive line. The recruiting has been there. That's why you have these 5-stars. The talent is there. The size is there. This is going to flat out be one of the best offensive lines, and not just the SEC, but the entire country. This is a beefy offensive line. Some beefy boys.
Bunch of beefy boys.
Bunch of beefy boys. I think that out of everything that I'm going to be excited about for Tennessee football this year, I think the number one thing that I can't wait to see is this offensive line maul people.
And they will.
Because even in those games that, you know, we may get blown out. We may get blown out by Georgia in their new stupid dog collar uniforms.
That happens.
But, man, the offensive line will not be the reason for that. The offensive line will hold their place. And I can't wait to see them either maul over the guys from Kentucky and Vanderbilt, or I can't wait to see them go toe-to-toe with the guys from Alabama and Georgia. This is going to be an exciting group of football players.
Yeah, it won't be a lot of excuses for our guy JG, especially if he tends to get the time we think he's going to have in that pocket with that offensive line
or the running backs. Man,
I was going to say the holes should be there for Eric Gray, for Ty Chandler.
We expect them to be good this year. There's no excuses.
A good offensive line can prevent you from getting blown out. It can keep you afloat in football games when maybe things aren't going great. It can really just be the heart and the lifeblood of a team as well. I mean, you have a good offensive line to rely on, everything else can be built around that.
There could realistically be a situation, let's just say hypothetically, a team like Texas A&M, right? I believe that Texas A&M will be a close game with Tennessee and that it's a game where Tennessee should be able to pull it out. How about this? You're going into the fourth quarter. Maybe you have a seven-point lead. Right, and what do good teams do with the ball when they have the lead closing out a game?
Wear them down.
Wear them down and run the ball, run the clock. That's something that Tennessee has not always done effectively in the last few years. So that if you do have a lead going into a closing game situation, we've not always been able to chew out all the clock that we would have liked to, or that would have been statistically an advantage in that situation. With a good offensive line, you're able to do that. I mean, Charlie, you give so many reasons right there. I threw one in. There are an endless amount of reasons why it is outstanding for you to have your offensive line as the key piece to your offense. I think that we have the skill positions around them to be good. I think that, you know, I really hope and I'm optimistic that Jarrett Garantano can do enough to just kind of manage the offense, get the ball to those skill players, get the ball to the running back so they can run behind the holes. I am very optimistic towards this offense. I'm very confident in the defense, but I'm very optimistic towards the offense.
It's the most important position.
No doubt. Oh my God, Chance Collins hit the alarms. Breaking news. I also got to see if I got this right. It is official. I thought I had it timed.
That's okay.
Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo wins his second consecutive MVP award of the National Basketball Association. Boo.
LeBron James.
All right, I
got to
see.
No, not LeBron either. James Harden. LeBron,
I know, Luka should have won.
James Harden should have won the MVP this year.
Hold on. I got to see who predicted it. See who got it right.
Giannis, I don't think any of us predicted that.
All right, here it is. Basketball. Let's see. Nope.
I know I went with LeBron.
You went with LeBron. I went with AD. Ha! Brandon went with Stephen Curry. Yikes. For the record, Chance, you're the only one left with a possible NBA Finals matchup.
Yeah, and the Heat might ruin that.
I know, they might.
Nuggets, you had Nuggets Heat?
That one did deserve a back-to-back.
Lakers, Celtics, from the get-go.
Yeah.
From the get-go, back in the fall. So, yeah, I needed a big I told you. So I can't believe LeBron didn't win it, though. Seriously, I know that like a lot of people say, well, it was people pushing the LeBron narrative, but I honestly just think, I mean, just look at it. Like, all right, maybe it depends on how we break it down. Most valuable player to your team, and there's many ways that are the most valuable player in the league, the greatest player, or the best player in the league. But I think, yeah, you can't do it much in Milwaukee without Giannis, but I just give it to LeBron. Just, I don't know, the way the jump that the Lakers have had. Yes, they got AD, but still, I mean, they went from you know, being a bottom feeder to where they are now, look like they're going to win another title, first one since 2009. And then just the fact that Giannis just doesn't have it, man. He just don't have that killer instinct. Like, so, he really let me down in the playoffs with his play.
Yeah. Remind me, is the MVP is decided based on a voting procedure, right? Not
correct.
Just guys. See, I think that had you taken anywhere from 5 to 8 guys, right? And you get them in a room, you sit them down, and you say, all right, come to a conversation, give us an MVP. I think you, in that kind of situation, I think most people naturally get to LeBron James. I wonder if in the voting process, you have a situation where, you know, something like Anthony Davis and LeBron James split votes. You know, there's a certain number of votes that that naturally come with the Lakers ending up with the one seed, and people are going to vote for Anthony Davis. People are going to vote for LeBron. Take some votes maybe away from each other. Maybe that's the kind of situation where you have Giannis come out on top. I think Giannis is deserving, but I'm with you. I did kind of think that at the end of the day, LeBron maybe did deserve this MVP.
Yeah, I think that both of them are MVP worthy.
But then again, it's that classic argument, right, of the MVP. What does it actually mean?
Yeah.
Does it mean the best player
in the league or the most valuable player to their team?
Right, because in that kind of situation, then, yeah, I can buy into the fact that Giannis is the most valuable player for their team. Still could have believed that the Lakers could have been pretty good with Anthony
Davis.
Was he
that valuable? Because they did win a game without him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Middleton went off.
They are the only the Miami Bucks without Giannis are the only team to beat the Miami Heat in the playoffs so far.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Without Giannis.
Let that sink in. The Bucks without Giannis are the only team to beat the Heat so far in the playoffs. The Celtics can do it. The Pacers couldn't do it. I had to think back what seems like a year ago to the Heat's first round matchup, just disposed of the Pacers. That's wild. That is wild. By the way,
I think we're good or something. Something
shut
like that.
Up. Shut up. By the way, later I do want to talk about the all NBA first team. I think that's an interesting conversation as well. Who's most likely to leave it when Steph Curry comes back next year? Hey, all that and more on the other side of the break. We're going into hour number 2 of the Blitz.